Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Saturday morning, May the 2nd, 2015. And I'm very grateful that you've chosen to listen to this satsang. We are now calling it satsang. And there's a reason why the whole change of events here in the world that we're in. Our mystery donor did something very beautiful last week, and I was quite surprised because he's never done anything like this before. He heard one of my radio programs and my answers, and he felt compelled, shall we say, deeply moved by whatever I said, and I didn't get into it with him, to sponsor these radio programs publicly because he felt like it needed to happen. So he is matching your donations to keep the radio program on the air on this website here at aspire.org, which is very, very sweet and very kind of him. He will be matching until the end of the year, so whenever you make a donation, it will be matched. And I can't thank him enough, and he has sponsored us for till the end of the year to help us. So please make a donation and allow this radio program to continue this satsang, as we're now calling it. And that's the end of that. And here we are. I am so grateful. The questions that you're going to be listening to and hearing the answers to were submitted to me over the past month. And I hope that you find them interesting and insightful. And if you have a question that you would like me to answer, you come to this website here at aspire.org, and at the top of the page, you will see email, just hit the old contact button, send me your question. If you don't want me to use your name, you don't want me to use where you're located and where you listen to us from, that is fine. Just tell me you want to keep that private, and I shall do so. Your question is very important to me, and that's all that really matters here is your question. First question comes from Tony in Los Angeles. What do you mean by the spiritual heart? I thought my heart was just my heart. Is there a different one? Tony, we are interesting people. We come into this world and we create for ourselves all sorts of anomalies, all sorts of difficulties based on emotionality. And typically it is in our emotionality that we find a great deal of difficulty in our life, a great deal of difficulty. So the heart that most people think of through passion and emotionality is really not that at all. You can call it that. I was thinking this morning, what does it mean to eat your heart out? What does that actually mean? I eat my heart out. It means that I have a great deal of desire, a great deal of wanting inside of me. And just because this is huge in me, maybe I have a lot of wanting and desire in me. Just because I have it doesn't mean that's my heart. People will say, well, I want this so bad, or I want this so much. I'm eating my heart out. Does that not sound a little strange to you? A little odd? A little crazy? It does to me. I never got it. So beyond the idea of eating my heart out and my emotionality aching and hurting for something it wants, maybe there's another way. Maybe there's something more than that. That's your emotions. That's the best the human can do in us. And it is painful. It brings about a great deal of pain. It brings about a great deal of sorrow in people's lives. And even if you get whatever it is that your heart so wants and desires, it doesn't mean that that's going to be something that's actually, shall I say, Tony, good for you. I can't say. I don't know. It could be a part of your karma. And that doesn't mean karma is not about bad or good, right or wrong. It's about something that you're perpetuating within you, an energy that you're perpetuating, and you keep it going. So this is the way it is on our earthly life and in our earthly life. So you ask me, what do you mean by the spiritual heart? Now, that is something different altogether. For you to discover your spiritual heart, and you're not going to like this answer. We did this at our Mount Madonna retreat in March of this year. You're going to have to let your heart break. I know. I hear everybody just slamming the door and walking out of the building right now, and I understand that. I don't make up the rules. I can only tell you what I have found in my own life, my personal life, my living, and what I have found, shall we say, in the lives of my students that I've tried to help. What does it mean to have a broken heart? It means that I'm not always going to get the things that I want. I'm not always going to have the things I desire. That maybe some of the things I want and desire that I think are very important to me are not the things that I need in my life to perpetuate love and kindness and meaning, something beyond the idea of me interpreting my karma in a negative fashion. You see, when I use my emotionality, I'm only seeing things in the light of darkness and light, right, wrong, good, bad, plus negative. So when I'm looking at my life from that standpoint, I don't have much goodness in me. I am living according to my fear, and that negates the goodness of my being. So when I am willing to let go of what I want and listen to the higher energies, the rarefied air that lives within me, and I start breathing that over what I think I want or what I think I need or whatever, that is when something is going to happen that breaks my heart. I've had my heart broken many times, Tony. I've had people say and do things to me that were terrible, uncalled for, actually, but they did them anyway. I was wearing a flap jacket, a bulletproof vest for a year or so, just because of things I was teaching just like this. So you have to understand, we're not a receptive audience to anything that goes against the grain of what we want. But if you can persevere beyond that, if you can say, okay, I'm going to let that go and continue to practice letting the emotionality and the beliefs and all the stuff go that are wrapped around what it is you desire, and you can sustain some kind of energy where you're not letting your emotionality get to you, you'll find deeper in the forest of your being the diamond mind that lives within there. This is such a beautiful place to go. There is so much more in us, Tony, than we realize. And the problem with a lot of us is that we don't realize it because we're so busy wanting what we believe we should have, wanting what we believe we should get. And we live that way over and over and over again to nauseam. Hence, we miss the whole meaning of our life and the essence of our living. So what do I mean by the spiritual heart? It is that part of thee and me that is connected to love, to the universe, to the goodness of your being. It is that part that is nurtured through patience, gentleness, and loving kindness. It is about something other than the fear of what will happen and what is good and bad or right and wrong. It is about moving beyond the desires, the ambition, the pride, in my case of a Gregory Penn, and going to something more profound, deeper. Once you have touched even remotely that spiritual heart, a wisdom will arise in you. Profound wisdom. That wisdom has no verbal language like we have in our brains when we're thinking a thought, or I should say really a thought is thinking us. It's so profound. It is so beautiful. It is so mesmerizing. Some sense of profound goodness lives within you. This goodness accentuates compassion and love. And you start acting and living not out of the fear of what you want or what you believe in or what you think, but out of real love, real, real love. The spiritual heart, it is what you are all about. It is the nature of your being. It is found through meditation. It is found through inner work, inner practice. Without it, you can't unfold. You will never be able to bloom. You will never be able to understand the nature of things from the, shall we say, human side. My human side cannot understand any of this. It makes no sense to the human side, and that's the point. Many of us in this world, many of us, negate the most beautiful aspect of our life because we are so busy trying to understand everything from logic and reasoning. It is a very sad thing, but we do it and we insist upon it. So, Tony, it is about no longer fulfilling my emotionality. It is about me no longer hoping, wishing, and wanting that my emotions dictate to me whatever the subject might be, and letting it go and persevering through meditation, just as sitting, wanting nothing with all of your heart, as Buddha said. And once that has been achieved in you in any way, shape, and form, you're going to find so much beauty. And beauty will precede you in everything you do. Compassion will precede you in everything you do. Love will precede you in everything you do. And you will find authentic meaning in your life. Authentic. I hope that helps you. And please forgive me. Namaste. There is a language in this lifetime. There is a way in this lifetime that our human minds cannot understand nor accept. Most people, 99 9/10 of the people in this world, will feel this and reject it over and over and over again. Sad part is that's just the way we're built and that's the way we are. But there is more to us than what we believe in and what we can think. And when you make love more important than a desire, ambition, and pride, the hubris of us, you enter into something very rare, rarefied air. Lauren is the next one from, let's see, where is this one from? Sacramento. How do I know what true love is? Can it exist between two people in a marriage or a relationship? Lauren. What is true love? That's an interesting question. Do you ever experience true love? True love is unconditional. It's the only way it can be. It has no priorities. It has no limits. It is not something you experience through emotion either. It's something you experience from the totality of you. Your whole being awakens when love is invited into your life. Relationships with other people can open that door. Yes, if you are willing, if you are interested, if there is something within you that is beyond the pedestrian mentality, if you can persevere through love and kindness, yes, something can happen. Something beautiful can happen. But most of us are not into that at all. We're only interested in fulfilling our emotionality and making it to feel good about itself. And what we never seem to see, Lauren, is that the more I do this, the more I gratify my emotional nature, the less in love I can be. I remove myself from love in that way. So when couples get together, What is it that draws them? Well, there's all sorts of energies between two people that can draw them. When we're young, it has to do with chemicals, testosterone. That's a big one in men. You know, the way we function inside of ourselves chemically is amazing. And we have no sense of consciousness in all of that. So we basically, as men and women, work out of the chemicals that live within us, the pheromones, the whole thing. And I'm giggling because we like to think of that as love. But it is not. It is just what it is, a chemical reaction. So what we must do inside of ourselves is persevere. Sometimes you are drawn to a person because of a karma you might have had with them, because of a certain energy that they possess, beyond their chemicals, beyond the estrogen and testosterone, something beyond all of that. And that is a beautiful thing. That can invoke inside the couple individuality, the individuality that allows them to persevere their spirituality. It takes a great deal of energy to persevere your spirituality, to move into it beyond the conception of right and wrong, good and bad, beyond the ideas of what you're here to do for me and role-playing of what a woman is to do, what a man is to do. It's beyond the moralism of it all. But a lot of people just can't go there. 99 and 9/10, I would say. It's my new number. People are only interested in what gratifies them and what gets them what they want. So you ask me, how do I know what is true love? True love has no desire. True love is not what I want. True love beckons me to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the quiet spaces of my being, rather than going out and just doing the numbers game, doing the things that biologically seem natural, making babies and doing all of that stuff that we do in order to sustain family because we think it's all about family. Lauren, it is not all about family. Buddha left his family. Jesus had none. He said, "Who is my mother? Who is my father? Who is my brethren? Only those who seek to do the will of my Father. That is my mother. That is my brethren. That is my sister." He was not a family man, like you would want to be, maybe. Lao Tzu, the same way. These people have no pedestrian mentality. They are not living according to their genealogy, their DNA, their genetics, their chemistry. They have found something more profound. And that is our effort too. So like Tony, you have a question to answer within you. Are you as a person going to only love so you can be comfortable? Or are you willing to let love live you beyond your comfort, beyond your convenience, beyond the security of emotionality that you think you're going for, and live in love at all costs? This is something that most of us just never seem to do, never want to do. A spiritual practice is sustaining that place inside through meditation, compassion, forgiveness, especially that. Then, in that sustaining is the awakening. It'll happen when it happens. Everyone can have an awakening. Everyone is here to have that awakening. That is what our life is all about. But we don't see it that way. We only see it in the way we want to believe it can happen, through the mind, through emotion. Only when you are done, Lauren, with trying to fulfill your physiology, your emotionalism, and your mental and emotional quotients will you ever find what is really going on in your life as far as love is concerned. You have to want this beyond the comforts and the fears of the emotions that both you and I possess. Just think about it. And please forgive me. Namaste. You know, most of the troubles that all of us have are caused by the emotions we believe will bring us love. Have you ever thought of that? Everything that you've ever thought was love has brought you some kind of difficulty, only because it wasn't about love, it was about gratification. And this is something people just don't want to see or recognize. I understand. The last question comes from Timothy in Colorado. What is this world coming to? Everyone seems unaffected by the hatred and the fear that is going on. We live as if none of this is happening. I love your radio programs, and I look forward to them, Timothy. Timothy, I understand what you mean. I understand what you're saying. We live oblivious to anything until it affects us. If you tell people there's global warming, they don't believe it until they get too hot. If you tell people there's a shortage of this or that, they don't believe it until it affects them. This is human nature. Human beings are very selfish by orientation and by the collective, as it were, and that's the way they live, in that collective. So there is nothing that I or anyone else can say. I don't want to put the fear of God in you, you know, and say you should do this and you should do that because this is going to happen. You know, I just take what Jacques Cousteau said, and it's, to me, very, very true, that any organism that overpopulates implodes upon itself. That's enough for me. I understand that. I get it. I mean, what do we dedicate our lives to? We dedicate our lives to doing things that destroy the earth and eventually ourselves. This is why we're only temporary in this body. When Mary Magdalene said, "The reason you get sick and die is because you love what misleads you," she was giving us the ultimate truth. We really do love what misleads us. People, Timothy, you are correct. What is the world coming to? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a bright enough soul to understand that. I don't know what it'll come to. I can't worry about that. What I must do is be the change I wish to see in this world, as Gandhi said. And that means I have to respond in kindness. I have to be forgiving. I have to be less prideful. My hubris has to be far less meaningful to me than it ever has been. I have to want this thing more than I want what I want. How much am I willing to do inwardly to serve humankind, to help people? That is what is most important. So don't be concerned about the world and what you see happening in it. There's nothing you and I can do to change the tide of the collective unconscious. But we can change our own life. We can change the way we live from within ourselves. We can do that. And if we do that, as we do that, the way we do that, that means something of the miraculous can occur within our life. I know it is hard for people to understand this, but there is a great beauty in them, a great love in them, greater than their minds can grasp. And it does you and I no good at all to get arrogant and egotistical about it and think, "Well, I know all that." We don't. We don't. The love that was the theme of this program has nothing to do with what you can know in your mind and through your emotions. The love we were talking about in this program from all three questions is about what will bring beauty and substance to your life, meaning, actual meaning that most people simply do not have, nor are they interested in. That's the sad part. We love what misleads us. Timothy, thank you for your beautiful question, and please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something that I might be able to be of service to you in, please come to this website here at aspire.org. You'll see at the top of the page, contact. Just click on it. Send me your question, and I'll tell you what day I will be answering your question so you can move right to it. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. Thank you for your generosity. I want to remind you that this program is supported solely and entirely on your sponsorship and your tax-deductible gifts. Please make a donation today to keep our program on the air. Satsang is here to stay. Please forgive me. Namaste.